chirping Justin though.
We're live, pal.
We're live here, pal.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Travel Podcast episode 20. Oh. Piping
Let's
in.
Let's go, Danny.
The fans, beautiful.
Let's go, Danny.
Danny.
Amazing. What a great start. Let's say welcome to episode 29 of the Wrestling Travel Podcast live here on Facebook on this lovely Thursday. I'm joined, of course, by our host of the Lockdown Sessions, US representative, Mr. Justin Clapper. We've also got UK ring announcer and commentator Mad Dog Mike Angus, and from True Heel Heat and Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily and Sports Keeda SP3. But Justin, first of all, I'm just going to pass it to you as we have lost some familiar faces this week who we want to pay our respects to. Can you tell us who we've sadly lost?
Yeah, absolutely. I found out through Facebook on the weekend, as I got a terrible echo in here, but we lost George Petrasky, who was the Russian Brute in the waning days of the AWA, managed by the legendary Ox Baker. He even threw the heart punch a la Ox and Stasiak in the WWE. So was a great guy. Was a guy that, man, we were friends on Facebook. And a guy I'm like, man, I really want to get him in for Lockdown Sessions. And unfortunately, I didn't quite make, you know, I didn't make the connection to get him on for an interview. But, you know, George wrestled in the indies, did a lot of appearances as the Russian Brute. So, as you guys know, my history with AWA, very sad to see somebody like that go. And then also in the celebrity world, but also a member of Hulk Hogan's celebrity wrestling, Dustin Diamond, age 44, lost a really quick battle with cancer. And, you know, he was somebody that appeared off and on in our world of pro wrestling. So we certainly want to pay our respects. So to the families of the Russian Brute, George Petrasky and Dustin Diamond, we certainly send all of our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Justin, for that there. But as always on the Wrestling Travel Podcast, we do like to bring on some special guests. And for the past few weeks, we've got them on right from the get-go. And of course, we've got the same today. And back to Justin to introduce our first guest.
All right. He is one half of the tag team known as Collateral Damage. This gentleman was trained by Harley Race at the Harley Race camp and also at the Black and Brave camp. So Seth Rollins, so pretty good stock coming on here. Please welcome Sabotage.
Hey, there they are.
Hey,
how are we doing, Sabotage? Guys?
What's going on?
Back in the house.
It's going, man. It's going. I start my day off pretty awesome. And I apologize about the noise. I got the ice machine and the train coming by, but start pretty good. I already got my workout in, and you know, now I gotta talk wrestling. And it, what is it, only 10 a.m. here? So you got so much more to do today. So get on in.
Workout started at 6:30 a.m. I heard.
It did, yeah. You know, we got up, took the meat off at the restaurant, and then head on over to Waterman, Illinois, to start clanging and banging, and then got back here. You know, now it's 10 a.m. We're already talking wrestling, man. I got a long day ahead of me, so this is going to be a good one.
Mate, I saw you've been hitting some personal bests in the gym there on Facebook. It keeps popping up every day, and a new PB there for Sabotage.
Thank you. Yeah,
smashing it, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of, like, I told you guys before, I like, during COVID, I got really into the lifting, and I'm just kind of like, hey, you can't wrestle, you might as well start, try to get in shape, try to look like a real professional wrestler, you know? So, you know, I started doing that, and, you know, I always, like, like just seeing, like, I always got a picture of Triple H, and like that's my biggest motivation, just like to look like him, but or like a mini version, right? But
I've got Sergeant Slaughter up on my wall.
Yeah. Well, I always visualize, you know, that, you know, just that motivation. But then I started getting into like just getting stronger lately. And I think that's really it's really like a new hobby, just like hitting these new PRs. And I like to get the bench and squat up, but that deadlift is just a new lift I've never done, and I'm having so much fun with it. So it's just like another. I'm glad I'm enjoying lifting so much. So it's a good thing to be having fun with.
Definitely smashing it, mate. Well done.
The one thing I wanted to talk about before we get into the other wrestling stuff is now.
Yeah.
I know you and I have talked obviously off camera about places to work, but now you're heading down to Texas.
I am. I know. Yeah, we talked about a couple places down in Texas, you know. So it was kind of I found a place that, you know, I guess it was bound to happen. But it's a buddy of mine. He trained at Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. I met him about a year after I graduated, and now he's from Texas, but he moved up in Iowa for the class, and he now started a promotion down there, and he's getting some guys from the Texas area. And Texas seems, I've been looking into a lot of research, and like I guess it's just because they're so huge of a state, you know, but they have a lot of good promotions, you know, in that state, and it's just something I kind of want to dabble in and just get down in there and, you know, kind of get my feet wet with this promotion, you know, my buddy Elijah. But it's just a get a little taste of, you know, the Texas independent circuit. So we'll see how it goes. I'm very excited. I got a triple threat match against two guys. I think it's Edgar Garza and Corvus. I've never met them before, but I'm excited. Hopefully I put on a good show for them and they get me back in, you know. But even the main goal is just, you know, get some more connections, you know, in the area, and then maybe find another one. Because it's on a Friday, so I'd like to maybe on the trip back find another promotion on the way back home. So it's all part of the, you know, the gimmick of wrestling, you know, just traveling and wrestling.
Let me be the old man here giving some advice.
Yeah.
Interview 101, drop that name of that promotion, Sabotage.
So it's AWP, but it's Atlas Wrestling Promotion. It's in Uvalde, Texas. So I think it's a very southern point of Texas. So that's the promotion, and hopefully we rock that. And I know they're gonna have fans there too. So they've been doing a couple shows where they just do like TV tapings or Facebook Lives. But this is actually gonna be the first show they have fans back, and I know they're really. They're going to be strict on, like, the mask protocol and everything. But, hey, you know, if it gets fans in the door, I'll do whatever, you know. So I'm excited for that.
I watched that show out of Texas the other week, the Palais Pro that Justin had mentioned, and also the Indie Wrestling Expo. That was in Texas as well, wasn't it, in Dallas?
Oh, so, yes, yeah.
I managed to catch that as well. So, yeah. So
you were there? It looked
like there was a lot going on. No, I just watched it. But Full Elite Scooby-Doo was there, so I made sure to I spotted him straight away in the front row. So, but it was a great show. I watched it on Fight TV, though, and it was really
Fight
good.
TV. So,
yeah, I enjoyed it. It was on in the middle of a night here. It was like started at like 1 o'clock and went until 4 a.m, so it was a bit of a late one. But, you know, if you want to catch indie wrestling with fans in the crowd nowadays, you have to do what you have to do, don't you? You know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, man. That's awesome.
No, excellent. But we are, of course, here to talk about the last few days in wrestling, the last 7 days. But let's go and dive in to the big event for the weekend, the Royal Rumble event, which we saw Bianca Belair winning the Women's Royal Rumble and also Edge winning the Men's Royal Rumble. I'll pass it to Mad Dog first. I mean, those two Rumble matches, from the feedback I've sort of been seeing, have heard, pretty much people preferred the Women's Royal Rumble match as opposed to the Men's. What was your take?
You know what? I thoroughly enjoyed the whole show. I was really impressed by the Ladies Rumble. Yeah, I thought it was great. Some of them have not made as much sense in the past to me, whereas this one told a story, You know, there were lots of guest appearances, which was great. Jillian Hall, Victoria, Mickey James and Tori Wilson were all in there. They all played their part and, you know, didn't take anything away from the younger ladies who were involved as well. Everyone had a great match. It came down, told a good story, and I thought the result was great. It wasn't who I'd predicted to win. I'd obviously predicted Rhea Ripley to win last week. And I know, I think all you guys predicted Bianca Belair to win. Obviously, Stewie was going off the odds. So the odds are always going to get it right, aren't they? But I just fancied Rhea Ripley to win that one, but she didn't quite make it. But great showing, you know. And Men's Rumble, similarly, was great. A few surprise appearances. Great to see the Hurricane in there. Still hasn't learned. He's still going for that double choke slam. This time it was on Big E and Bobby Lashley. And obviously I'd predicted that I thought Big E might get a chance, but it wasn't to be. We did get a few predictions right, though. We said that it was going to be... we said Seth Rollins may appear, and he did. We said Strowman would probably appear, and he came back on SmackDown. And also last week, I don't remember if you guys remember me mentioning that AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan was on the cards, but they pulled that forward and had it on SmackDown last week. So we got that right, at least for some of our predictions. And I also just want to mention, I absolutely really enjoyed Roman Reigns versus KO. That was a great Attitude Era style match. And just thoroughly enjoyed it. It really reminded me of The Rock and Mankind from Royal Rumble 99 when they had that match. Just some bits of it were just great. And it also reminded me ever so slightly of the Stadium Stampede, a few aspects of it, but very well presented. And KO had a great match. Roman, another solid match, and told a great story. I just enjoyed it. The whole show was, compared to some of the more recent WWE pay-per-views, which we haven't loved, I thought the Royal Rumble was a solid show. But I don't know who you want to go to next, but if you go to SP3, we might get a different opinion, we'll have to see.
Well, yeah, I'm going to SP3, actually. So, yes, SP3, your thoughts?
I enjoyed the Royal Rumble, to be quite honest. I mean, I the only thing I disagree with Mad Dog on was I think that WWE's been on a nice run of pay-per-views, honestly, since they've gone to the Thunderdome. I don't think that we've complained about like any of the pay-per-views, to be honest. Like, we've always seen the good that's come out of it. And the good a lot of times is Roman Reigns. So that Universal Championship match was really, really good. It's kind of unfortunate what happened with the handcuff spot, because that kind of took away from the whole matchup. But the men's and women's Royal Rumble is what stands out the most to me. I think the women's Royal Rumble was better than the men's Royal Rumble. And I think only probably like the 2019 edition I could have said that, but this one was probably one of the best booked Royal Rumbles that I've ever seen, from just the threads that they had throughout, with Billie Kay kind of getting her spotlight with the comedies, with the headshots and everything. You had all the new NXT talent like Toni Storm, Shotzi Blackheart being spotlight. You had returning legends like Tori Wilson, Mickey James, Victoria, and you had Bianca Belair kind of putting on this like Iron Man type of effort. You had Rhea Ripley being the dominant force with the Kane type of version, eliminating six people. So and then the moment with them eliminating Charlotte Flair felt almost as big as Bianca Belair winning, because when it came down to those three, like, that was the choice the fans would be upset with the most. And once they eliminated her, it was like, okay, this is the two people that I don't think any fans would be upset. Like, they'll be one of two, like, oh, I'm a Rhea Ripley fan, I'm mad Bianca Belair won, but nobody's gonna be like out and out upset and say, oh, I don't understand why this person won. Both of them were understandable. Both of them had tremendous performances, and Bianca Belair was made a star in the Royal Rumble. And that hasn't happened a lot over the years. We've had Austin over the years, Shawn Michaels, you know, Roman Reigns with his elimination record, but it's been quite a couple of years since they really made a star in the Royal Rumble, and it felt like that, and Bianca Belair was that moment. The men's Royal Rumble was good, but I just felt like the middle portion was kind of boring, because it kind of, WWE, the way they book people, everybody's at like a certain level, so you knew who the bigger stars was. But the moment that stands out the most to me was Christian returning. He's one of my all-time favorites, and to see him get that moment after being told for 7 years you're not going to be in the ring anymore, and that's his dream, that's what he's always wanted to be, always has been. So to have him get that opportunity again was a great moment, and in Royal Rumble history, it's going to be remembered.
I like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There, SP3 covered a lot of points, and like I said, about the Christian there, absolutely fantastic. But Sabotage, what about yourself? What did you make of the Women's Royal Rumble and Men's Royal Rumble?
Yeah, I enjoyed the whole show. That made me kind of want to have a Rumble party every year now after watching that. invite everyone over, you know. But I think it was I really was pumped when Bianca Belair won. I remember seeing her in NXT like first started out, and like I thought she had this different look, and like her athleticism, her and Rhea Ripley, like they're tremendous performers. And I thought, I guess if there's one thing, I guess just being a wrestler now and seeing how the Royal Rumble goes over just being a fan, and I guess watching it was like every time. It was kind of like repetitive. Every time someone came out, they would like hit their comeback. And I was like, wait, every time someone enters the ring, they just start beating on everyone. But I guess it's a way to, you know, get you guys see who comes in the ring, and then they get their spotlight, and then everyone else is trying to eliminate everyone. And then the next person comes out. So that was the only thing. I was just like, oh, my God, another comeback, another comeback. And then I thought the men's finish was awesome. I knew Randy Orton was going to come back. I was like, this guy isn't, you know, hurt out of here. You know he's going to find his way to slither back. So I was like, okay, this is going to be great. But I thought when he hit the RKO and then it goes up throw Edge in an Edge reverse, I thought that was just brilliant. I thought that was a good finish. And then Bianca Belair, I really enjoyed her promo afterwards. I'm glad they did that. I thought when she had the emotion of the promo, I thought it just was so much more. Because I like her character. I like the EST thing. I think it fits her. She really is like very athletic. You know, she's probably the strongest, the toughest, whatever. But I thought it was good with the emotion she had in that promo. I thought it was just really good for that. So I enjoyed the pay-per-view, and I hope – is it Elimination Chambers next? I hope that's really good as well. And then I did enjoy – I don't know if you guys saw last night Edge on NXT. I thought that was really cool with the whole kind of just he won. And I don't know if you guys liked him being on NXT or if it was just a waste of time, but – I thought it was really good seeing him just cut that promo with Finn and Pete Dunne, and you know, kind of making that NXT title mean something. You know, I mean, you see Edge on NXT, you're like, holy crap, this is big, you know, and he's making that title mean something. It's, you know, NXT is kind of looked at as a developmental brand, but I think, and obviously, I think it always will be looked at that because you know, everyone's goal is to get the Raw or SmackDown still, but I think it really is starting to become like a true third brand, especially being on Wednesday nights on actual TV, you know. So I think that's cool. And I thought the other thing that was cool was he did, like, I don't know if you guys saw, he did a promo of Karrion Kross like in the parking lot, and I thought that was cool because he was Killer Kross at AAW. I remember just every time going to those shows, I'd see Killer Kross wrestle at AAW, and you know, see him get signed, and then Scarlett was always there, too. So that was cool to see Edge cut a promo with him. So I thought overall the whole show, I know I kind of veered off, but the whole show was a great Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely indeed, and as well some fantastic points made there indeed. But Justin, what was your take? And also a question I want to ask you as well about the return of Carlito. It looks like he's going to be staying around for a while now. What's your thoughts on that?
It's great. You know, everybody's surprised that hasn't seen Carlito on the independent scene of how freaking I can't do a Joel Gertner jacked up as well as he can, but dude's jacked up. And did you see the dropkick he threw at the end? I mean, he's got some height. Looks like they're going to keep him around for a couple weeks, maybe a backstage role. But, man, get him out in the ring like he did on Monday night. But let me go back to the Royal Rumble. And let me ask some questions around here. All Mad right. Dog, have you ever watched a wrestling show that you didn't like?
There was one, yeah. I watched ECW December.
Yeah, here's your other question.
I wasn't a big fan of.
Okay, here's my issue, fellas. Here's my big issue. You ready? Why? Why do I have to always be the heel on here?
This is about that tank again.
Because you're gonna get into an argument with me. That's what you want.
No, I don't. And I'm very happy that Bianca Belair won and the post match, everything. But you guys telling me that women's Royal Rumble match was better than the men's when you've got.
I didn't say that.
I said.
Very well booked.
You got Billy Kay running around on the outside, screaming her head off, and her stupid shtick. And you guys love that? You got the tank girl coming down. I wish that if the tank girl would have hit. Hey, I was quiet while you guys talked. I was really respectful. But you can't tell me. Well, okay, you're right, Mad Dog. I wasn't respectful, but I was quiet. But the tank girl, are you going to – do you guys see the tank girl getting a belt on her and climbing out of a mini tank? Shotzi Blackheart.
Shotzi Blackheart.
Come on. And the camera cuts.
Girl.
What's with the piped in noise and the camera cuts? I didn't know. JC, are you watching the Royal Rumble? Are you having a small stroke? I wasn't sure what was going on. It was what are they doing? I'll let you answer this. What are they doing with Bailey? Why is she just talking sarcasm? We lost SP3, but that's all right. With the sarcasm and stuff and talking in the ring, it loses something for me. I thought the men's was straightforward, and I liked it. I could do without the comedy shtick. Listen, we're on the just getting over this women's evolution where women are main eventing, and then we go to an entire Billy Kay, a girl riding out in a tank. I mean, stuff like this really bothers me. And you know what? I will say this. If it's putting butts in seats, which it's not because there's nobody there, then who am I to argue with? And the piped-in crowd noise. Do we need a This Is Awesome chant? I was happy with a lot of the other things that happened. I'm happy. Well, I kind of wish Drew McIntyre would have went down just to make you British creep a little bit angry. But and then the end of the, you know, unavoidable. They've got the struggle with the handcuff there at the end of the Last Man Standing match, which goes to show me I like that only because I didn't like it per se, but I like knowing that they are doing this live and they're not pre-recording a bunch of stuff. So there still is that opportunity for stuff because it'd be really easy for them to redo stuff. And then I don't know what's going on with Miss Bliss and Bray Wyatt, but I thought for sure that I was hoping that we'd see a little bit of The Fiend or what's going to happen. I do feel, like I said last week, the more they, and this will step into Monday Night Raw a little bit, but the more stuff they do with camera tricks with the Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, the more trouble they're going to be in when the fans come, because they're just going to have to drop it. But yeah, I'm looking forward. I didn't mean to make SP3 so angry that he left. I mean that.
You need to stop upsetting people.
I can't stand. I can't. It's the biggest wrestling company in the world, and I want to support it a lot more than any other thing going on because it is what it is. That's why I've got high expectations of pro wrestling, and I know you guys are going to laugh about that because of WWE where they're at, but it's the freaking, these are the big dogs. That's why I'm a little harder on them with some of these things that I just don't. And obviously, you know, when you got the people doing the Cirque du Soleil, you know, I'll grab your chest, you grab mine, and we'll do cartwheels around the ring. I just think that takes the piss out of professional wrestling. And I know it's got to be fun and you got to explore different audiences and stuff. I just think, especially with the women, you know, I always talk about it on lockdown sessions. starting with when I had the Blossom Twins on. I'm like, man, it's come such a long way to women kicking ass. To now just kind of we back off into some comedy stuff. I know we had to have it a little bit, but to me, and Reginald, I obviously have been missing him on SmackDown. I didn't know who the hell that was. Speaking of Cirque du Soleil, you know, he apparently jumped right from NXT, never had a match, to right up to the main roster on SmackDown with Carmella. And by the way, I'm glad that Carmella is okay. You know, that was a rough dive, wasn't it? Suicide dive. Sasha, you can see, you know, doing her best and trying to make sure it's good to see that. But, you know, I hate on it, but I've got high expectations, which leads you, SP3, into telling me to lower my expectations because it's WWE. I know, but I was just – the camera cuts, the crowd noise, that freaking tank and the Billy Kay stuff and the hoop-de-hoop cartwheels and stuff really took a lot away from me.
All right, can I say something?
Just because you guys were saying – absolutely sabotage. Okay. This is what I like to hear.
Okay, so I think the Billy Kay thing and the Jillian, I thought that was just good comedy for the Royal Rumble. You know, you got to have, like, wrestling's like your circus, and then you got this huge Royal Rumble match, so you got to have the comedy bit somewhere. So I thought that was one part that, I mean, is it the best comedy? No, but it's something in the match, you know? It's like these. It's like the Santino, you know, Santino in a Rumble. You know, I thought it was just. It's just one of those pieces you have. Like, you got this Royal Rumble match that's going on for what, hour plus. So, I think it's just something you need. You know, whether people like it or not, it's what, like Hurricane coming. You know.
Okay, that's what I was gonna ask. Like the comedy spot in the Hurricane was quick and over. This wasn't talk to Shotzi.
Do you not like your gimmick? I hate it.
Each to their own, Justin. Everyone's allowed an opinion. The only bit I wasn't a fan of too much was the 24/7 championship match interrupting the women's rumble, because I thought that was going pretty well. The rumble itself, I was enjoying the storytelling. I enjoyed the comedy. I enjoyed the wrestling they were able to do. I thought it focused well on people like Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley, who you might not see as much of. Dakota Kai took a horrific elimination off the Rumble, which I thought was very entertaining. But, the only bit I didn't enjoy was the 24/7 coming through, you know. So, yeah.
No, that is true. Because even like if you're watching a Royal Rumble and – you know, you got, like I said, if you got a party and you're having a bunch of people over and you see that, you know, it's like, what the heck is going on here? You know, so that is true. That's going to happen.
I do have a celebrity comment.
Okay.
Let me make sure. Just want to make sure that it's not just me.
My goodness.
This could be the worst event in wrestling history.
I believe that was
there. JBL agrees with me.
Pete Rosenberg won the 24/7 title, wasn't it?
That's your role model? That's who you want advice
from? That's not my role model.
that's who you're getting opinions from? And you're putting it on this illustrious podcast? JBL?
Illustrious podcast.
Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me?
Wait, Clapper, can I ask you this? So if you have WWE right now, can I ask you what's two questions? So what is your favorite like brand of wrestling to watch right now? And then in WWE, what is your favorite segment or storyline or rivalry right now? Mr. Heel.
Well, my favorite thing to watch has been Impact. wait, what was that last part?
I said Mr. Heel Clapper.
Well, I'm not trying to be a heel. You guys are forcing
me. You are. Yes, you are. Because
every show needs one.
You, from a purist wrestling standpoint, you're going to tell me the Tank Girl shooting a projectile at Comedy Girl's head while she's screaming is great. And for the second year in a row,
it's not great, but it's different. So, you know, you got to have different. You can't have same person in tights, you know, locking elbow collar. So,
and my favorite thing, my favorite thing going on in the WWE right now, Sabotage, is hoping what they'll start is maybe like a Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton feud, hopefully. Maybe by the next pay-per-view.
Okay.
Get a match in there.
Okay. You know, I may be a little biased on the Shotzi Blackheart thing because I have seen her around the indies, you know, so a lot. So maybe I'm just like, oh, she's, you know, she got signed. I'm kind of happy, but maybe I'm a little
biased. Did Coach call you? Because he was my pick.
Oh, no, he was my pick. I didn't know he was going to be in the Rumble.
Oh, okay. It's good to see him back.
Yeah, no, that was cool. That was really cool.
Go on, SP3. I know you're chomping at the bit.
I'm just trying to take in your complaint on this Royal Rumble and the women's Royal Rumble match. And I love the fact that you spent about, and I looked at the time, you spent about 10 minutes complaining about the women's Royal Rumble, complaining about your complaints on the pay-per-view, and then saying that the men's Royal Rumble was well worked. It was all right. It was straightforward. It was all right. You spent like 2 seconds on that. You didn't even tell us what stood out, what made it good. I'm not
a journalist.
Could you bypass that? Because you didn't think it was good. You just liked it preferably over the Women's Royal Rumble. And that's why I consider a lot of your complaints very fickle. You're very fickle. Of course, WWE has production botches. It's WWE. That's why I had to tweet and stand out when AEW made production botches last night, because it doesn't happen often there. But with WWE, it's expected. And I called them out on that, on missing Bayley's elimination at the Royal Rumble. That was really bad. But the piped in crowd noise at this point, man, stop watching. If you can't deal with it, stop watching. I'm not that type of wrestling fan to say that to people. But if piped in crowd noise is your second biggest complaint about an entire 3.5-hour show in 2021 during a pandemic, I am sorry. You should just stop watching all of them, because all of them are using piped-in crowd noise, including your very own Impact Wrestling. And it's made the product better over there, so you should not be complaining about it with WWE. And what was your third complaint?
Camera cuts. We're brutal.
No. We addressed that. It's WWE. They suck at camera cuts. Like, it's 2021. You should have started complaining about that in 2000. It's been 21 years of this shit. Excuse me. Right. What was the third one?
Bugs Bunny.
I think it was like the comedy bit or the tank girl.
Yeah, I addressed that. I'm talking about freaking high quality athletic women, and those comedy spots are going on forever. But go ahead.
So 2001 is one of the greatest Royal Rumbles of all time, period. Because that established that the Royal Rumble could have a little bit of everything. It could be an athletic competition. It could push someone new. It can push multiple different main event stars, and you can have a bit of comedy. You can have a literal comedian in Drew Carey in the Royal Rumble, and it makes for a good spot. And he's followed by the Honky Tonk Man, and he's followed by a 10-15 minute portion of the Rumble having a hardcore battle royal, basically. So that established it, and it's still in the top 3, top 5 Royal Rumbles of all time. So this Women's Royal Rumble took a little bit of that. Even something more recent, which was a successful Royal Rumble, was 2018. That was one of the best booked Royal Rumbles, and a big portion of that was dedicated to the comedy spot with Heath Slater, which had a great payoff with him getting thrown in the ring by Sheamus and then immediately eliminating Sheamus. This one had a good payoff. It paid off all the stories that Billie Kay had going on. She made it a relationship with Jillian Hall, Billy and Jilly. She had her reunion with Peyton Royce and the Iconics. She had her relationship with Riot Squad. This put over Billie Kay's character tremendously. This is the best effort they've ever put forth in Billie Kay. She's not the most talented in the ring, but she gets the comedy and she gets the character moments, and this pushed her in a big way, and people were talking about her. So regardless of how you feel about the comedy, it was successful, because we are actually spending now 15, 20 minutes talking about Billie Kay and her comedy in the Women's Royal Rumble.
Am I not allowed to have feelings and an opinion? Being in the business for the last, since 1997, since before many of you kids were even born? That's my opinion. But you did remind me of a very bright spot, SB3, that I was very happy before, and I hope you can all agree. How great was it to see Santana Garrett on the main stage?
Yeah.
She's been around forever. Second gen. Very cool to see. I gave some really good points. I said I was glad that Carmella was okay. You know?
I thought that was a great – the Carmella Sasha Banks I enjoyed as well. I thought that was a really good match. Yeah, and I think Carmella's heel work and sort of talking and tying Sasha's hair up in the ropes was great. And one thing we haven't mentioned, guys, was the New Day's Brody Lee gear. I thought that was such a good, really good respect. That was good.
Here's my question on that, and I forgot to look this up, but didn't they have all three members of the New Day out there in gear? And is Kofi still hurt, or what's going on? Because I was
he's okay.
He appeared as like a surprise, didn't he? But he's.
Yeah, I was excited because of Kofi's Royal Rumble antics, but
yeah.
Well, we agree to disagree.
Do you guys like Edge winning? How do you guys feel about that?
I'm happy with Edge winning. I think that the Royal Rumble didn't have any like winners that were like had a bunch of momentum, or we could see a scenario for them being that's like as big as it can be for WrestleMania. And I think Edge creates that story where him versus Drew feels big, him versus Roman feels big. Yeah. So either way, I think we're in a good position for WrestleMania because Edge feels like a big star and he's going to be going against their two most protected guys, one or the other.
That's nice.
There's been a lot of good feedback in the comments as well, guys. I don't know if everyone's been keeping an eye on
them. You think they put him over, SB3, over like a Roman Reigns at WrestleMania?
Do I think they should? No.
Well, yeah, you're both. Do you think they will, and what do you think they should do with that?
Do I think they should? No. Roman Reigns is the hottest stars that they have. He's the tribal chief. Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer, did report that that's the plan, that it's supposed to be Edge versus Roman. And I think that is probably one of the biggest matches that they can put as the main event of one of the nights of WrestleMania. So I agree with that decision. And it does make sense for him to pick Roman over Drew, regardless of, you know, what title he left behind, that lineage, whatever. Roman is the biggest star. You go for the biggest star. And him on SmackDown creates a bunch of creative scenarios. You know, Christian can join him. We can get Edge and Christian versus the Usos. We can get, you know, a third person with Edge and Christian versus the whole bloodline with Roman. So there's a whole bunch of things that...
Oh, yeah, Frank Gangrel.
Oh, yeah, why not? Do the brood. So there's
The Usos were absent. What's going on there?
People absence. What? Where was Apollo Crews this week?
I don't think Apollo Crews was ever announced for the Royal Rumble. But
he wasn't on SmackDown either, was he?
No, I don't think so. I think with Jey Uso, it was basically reported that he wasn't medically cleared for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
Keith Lee obviously missed out as well, unfortunately. My EMF or tested positive, so
yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Edge is going to go after obviously Roman Reigns' title, are we going to be looking then at McIntyre Sheamus at WrestleMania? What do you think about that?
I would love that, but it then doesn't make sense for what they did on Monday Night Raw, like it just. It's like WWE, you spent 2 months building up this whole relationship between Sheamus and Drew, this relationship for 10 years that we're only finding out about now, and then he just randomly kicks him in the face on a Raw out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't him costing him anything. It wasn't them having an argument and then the split. It was just poof, like that. It was like Edge told the future. Edge saw it coming. And had to tell Drew before he left. So I mean, there was a lot of missteps on this Monday Night Raw to me, but I think you got a whole section for that, so I'll wait.
I think they'll do that sooner than Mania, Sheamus versus Drew. Now, I think that'll be one of the – it's the fast lane and Elimination Chamber before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And WrestleMania is, what, 66 days away now, is it, or something along those lines?
Yeah.
Wait, if it's Roman
versus – sorry to cut you off. If it's a Roman versus Edge, would that be Spear versus Spear? Do you guys like matches that both guys have the same finisher, or is that kind of cheesy, you think?
I think with the whole character that Roman Reigns has now and the fact that Christian is back as a part-time, you have a scenario where it could be Roman's family versus Edge's family. And I think that works. That type of... And then Edge also is a Canadian, so he follows in the line of Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, you can like create the storyline thread between Owens to Edge a lot easy. So I like all those dynamics, and I think it's going to be an interesting matchup, and especially because Roman's on the top of the game as far as promos. In 2021, just from two promos alone, his one last week on Raw and this week on Raw, and even his work on NXT last night, Edge is in the lead for the best promo in wrestling. So I think it's going to be great work. And then you have Paul Heyman. So it's too much great stuff can come out of a Roman and Edge storyline.
Yeah. Well, that sets him up as the biggest white meat baby face, getting pounded and pounded and pounded, and then having that little bit of a comeback at WrestleMania and be one of those matches that everybody'd be like, you know, how many near falls would that be? You know, it's not going to be 19 like WrestleMania 3, but I had to dive back in. But I think it's going to be
Steamboat. One of those.
There we go. Student of the game. But no, I think that sets up a great match. I just don't know. Like you say, and I know I'm way off topic here, but, you know, let's say they put Edge over, you know, who do they bring in? Is it just another Roman regains it at SummerSlam? Like, how much can Edge at that age? You know, he said he's not going to be this guy that steps in, you know, 1 week and he's gone for eight. He's in for the long haul, which I love about it. But hopefully what they do, instead of just if I'm fantasy booking and he takes the belt off Roman, I hope they use Edge to help build up somebody new. So we're not having to constantly, I love having the legends come back, but let's not have to rely on them. And my biggest question concern is Bianca and Edge. Okay, they're ready to main event WrestleMania. Let's hope nobody gets sick. Because then you got to write yourself out of that. And I don't even think you need to write yourself out of it. I think if you're WWE, you need to be honest. This is the world we're living in. Blah, blah, blah. This happened. And now we're bringing it just like a professional sports team would. But I know that was a lot to unpack there.
That was good. Now, I think, does anyone think that Edge has actually, like you guys are all saying, maybe Roman, you know, beats him and then Edge is kind of just, you know, out, maybe SummerSlam, but I kind of think Edge might have a whole like run in him. Like maybe a year run, maybe till fans get back. So I don't know. I think he's healthy. I think maybe now if he did say that, you know, he's not here to be every week, you know, Clapper, that you
said. No, he said he's going to be here.
Oh, he's going to be. Okay. Then
yeah, they're going to book him. He'll stay. He's not going to be a guy that just leaves and shows up.
Okay,
but my other concern on that, like you're saying, if he carries that belt, and like I said, I'd like him to put over, but man, that wrecks what you got going on with Roman right now as a dominant. You know, that's why we're not writing for WWE, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Roman beat Taker at Mania. Maybe it is true that he shouldn't beat Edge then. Because, you know, I always think Taker's a little higher because he beat Edge at Mania, so maybe it makes no sense.
I think the story they're telling is pretty good, though, where he's been away for so long and he's battled to come back. And then, you know, he's came back last year and then he's fought from first place in the Rumble this year. He's over his injury, you know. I think they could, if they tell that story well. And as SP3 said about the family thing, if they bring that into it, so it's family versus family, I think that potentially is big money. You know, I think that could be a great storyline to go with. But I think Edge, in a way, is needed on Raw more than he's needed on SmackDown. I think SmackDown has been ticking over nicely, apart from that sort of 10-man sort of Smoz thing there at the end of last week's show. I think it's been ticking over nicely. They've been building up Nakamura, Daniel Bryan, Cesaro, Big E. There's a lot of big names there who are really looking, you know, good each week. I think there's enough going on SmackDown to keep it busy, to be honest. But
are they completely done with Retribution?
They were on this week, and they
the pay per view. There's not one representation. I mean, I know completely done with them.
Ali was in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Right. Ali. Okay. I forget.
Well, that's about it.
I was looking at Slap Nuts and T-Jack, you know.
I feel like you've asked this question. You asked this question like once every month for the last 4 months.
He just doesn't like it.
Being consistent, I'm on that track.
I mean, it is kind of like I don't know. It's kind of one of those stories. I like it because Ali, that's a guy I saw, Mustafa Ali. I saw him growing up in the area a ton when I was a kid going to these indie shows. But, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm glad he's got something. But all the other members, I feel like, are just like, whatever. Do what you want every week. Or they're just not even on this show, and then people forget them, you know? So
it'd be nice if they give him a bit of a storyline, wouldn't it, guys, to be fair? And just, even if it was just something.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a 3-hour show. You might as well try, you know.
Even if you have them against lower card talents.
I'm watching Raw Underground every Monday and waiting for them to show up.
Wait, is Raw Underground still a thing? No. Oh, yeah. It was like, I watched watching like, reruns. I was like, whoa, okay. Shane McMahon, guys, right?
There was one thing that we haven't mentioned about the Royal Rumble, and it was an appearance from Justin's new favorite artist, Bad Bunny. What did you think of that?
I thought, hold on, why was Booker T there?
His song's called Booker T, isn't it? So he's in the video and stuff, and yeah.
That was honestly the one. Okay, I forgot about that.
And it's probably, GI Bro.
I forgot about it right away because I didn't want to remember it. But that was, I didn't like that at all. Maybe, I guess he got in the Rumble and, you know, jumped off. And then Miz and Morrison, right, he had that little feud with. But I don't know. I never heard of the guy, you know. All due respect, I guess he has all these platinum albums and stuff. But I thought that was so random. I was very confused. And then you see Booker T all jacked just there. I'm like, whoa, is he getting like a return in the Rumble? I thought he'd at least be in the Rumble. But
sucker.
Yeah, and he didn't even hit like Miz or Morrison. Like they gave Bad Bunny more of a feud with them and over Booker T. Unless there's some tag match coming, I don't know.
He's been training at the Performance Center, I've heard. So,
it Bad looks Bunny like the, has?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It looks like they're going to do something because in, like, the Hispanic market and Latino market, he's, like, the biggest star from what I've heard. So,
God.
Yeah.
Not as big as Victoria Beer.
I'd only heard, like, his song with Cardi. He did a song with Cardi B, didn't he? And he had a song that was number one for quite a while that I've heard. But apart from that, I didn't realize he was a big wrestling fan. So whenever they have celebrity involvement, it's aimed at a specific market, I think. Like a lot of the people in the UK who I spoke to earlier in the week, they didn't know who he was at all. So it was like just one of them things. But if it pulls in extra audience from like, you know, the Latino and Hispanic market, then, you know, it can only be a good thing, especially if it might turn out he's actually a really great wrestler and you know, he wrestles on MTV Music Awards or something. You know,
how about Dominic Mysterio in the Rumble? Do you guys like that?
I had him in the sweepstakes, unfortunately, and he was didn't get to do much. Unfortunately,
But yeah, the Bad Bunny thing. I think it was Gary Cassidy inside the ropes. He was saying, or he posted something yesterday or the day before about his following, like on Instagram. He has more followers than WWE and on some other platforms as well. So he is, you know, he's mainstream, which, like, not like you said, I'd never heard of him before this.
Okay, you guys haven't heard of him. Okay, I thought maybe I was just like in the States, you know, maybe that's why, but okay. Was he from Mexico?
I've heard of him.
He's from Puerto Rico, isn't he?
Puerto Rico, okay. Gotcha.
Colito was talking about him yesterday on the bump as well, and they said they'd never met, even though they're both from Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, what did he do on Raw this week? I saw that he was on Raw. What did he do?
He hit John Morrison with a mic.
Yeah, it was some gimmick. I don't even...
Cost Miz's match against Damian Priest, which is a big win for Priest.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of Damian Priest, obviously, in the Rumble, and now, obviously, well, main roster now. What's your thoughts on that?
I'll take the smoked chicken wings.
I think he was a North American champion, right, for NXT for a while. I thought he had a very, I don't know what, I like everything about him, but there's like a certain look that he kind of is like, he reminds me of Baron Corbin when Baron Corbin didn't have his shirt on. I just think I'd like to see him get more like a, and this is so dumb, you know, he's a great, you know, competitor. I just like to see like a little bit more physique, I think, with him. I think they really Caspered that look for him. And like, he's getting pushed, obviously. He's doing everything right. But I think if he had that build, then just a good physique on him, I think that would really push him up. Because now I see Corbin, and that's a guy I thought, you know, had a great look. But I just thought he should have got a little bit better physique. And then now he's King Corbin. And, you know, he's being a good heel on Raw and SmackDown every week, but I just think I just don't want to see him be like that, you know. I think he's got a great look, besides maybe just get a little more physique, because I look at him, I think Roman kind of side by side in a way, and I just think Roman looks so great, and you know, obviously he's on top, you know, and I think if that guy wants to be on top too, you know, that's something he has to do, you know. It's just my opinion.
He got booked pretty strong. He eliminated Kane from the Rumble, didn't he? And had, you know, he was in the Rumble for quite a while. Had quite a good showing, I thought. And it seems like he's got the backing of Triple H and people from NXT. So I think potentially he could be a big star. But then I thought Aleister Black was going to be like a big breakout star. And, you've seen what's happened with him. He's disappeared, hasn't he? So
Some of those guys, I feel like they get on podcasts sometimes and it's weird, but like sometimes I listen to podcasts, and I'm sure you guys all listen to some like Colt Cabana or anything like that. But I swear, like I have this thing where like sometimes I hear the guy that kind of talks, you know, like not, I don't want to say ignorant or anything like that, but I swear every time I hear a guy on a podcast and I go like, oh, I don't like that guy, I swear he gets cut or just like vanishes, you know, like I don't know why, because I remember Big Cass I heard, and then Ambrose was the other one, and then Aleister Black, like a lot of those guys. I swear it always happens. But Aleister Black could be because of the Selena Vega thing, right?
Very possibly.
I know we talked about that last time, right? I think so.
Yeah, no, definitely. But Justin, moving on to just what happened on the night after Raw, obviously we saw Edge against Randy Orton once again. But it was obviously what happened after that match with Alexa Bliss and the the liquid coming out of her mouth to end the show.
I thought it was a great comedy spot. That's what we need in wrestling, is a little bit of everything. Okay,
no, so you see, that, really I didn't enjoy that one. No, I didn't enjoy that one at all. It was very reminiscent of Papa Shango, though, wasn't it? You remember that one when they did that?
I'm not the one to ask about this. I would ask the rest of the panel about this, because you already know how I feel about stuff like that. So
yeah, I wanted to ask you, where do you think this is good? The Fiend and Randy Orton. How? I'm assuming it's going to be WrestleMania, but what do you think is going to end it? Because you're not a big fan of cinematic matches, but it feels to me like they may be going down that route.
That's all they can do, especially if there's fans there, is do something cinematic. And you know, the fact, my money is on Randy because he is the ultimate healer. From burned to a crisp, to perfect in 7 days, He's the man.
He is the man. He is. Randy is the man.
Randy's doing everything.
Yeah, this Randy. And in ring, that guy's still in
everything.
But now,
even calling up Karrion Kross the other day.
Yeah.
On Twitter, going, "Hey, get up here, big man."
Now, wasn't Randy in Bray Wyatt? That was WrestleMania 33. I think right, and they had that match that no one like really enjoyed. So if they have another match, I guess it can only be better, right? Or it could be about the same, because I remember they had those lights that just like with the ring, right? And the
spotlights to be like, young weird. Again.
Yeah, it was a cinematic match before that was even a thing. So I don't know what to expect now.
Well, the one thing they can fall back on with it being cinematic is the fans won't have that instant bad reaction that they did at WrestleMania 33. So
yeah, I suppose exactly. You're right. I suppose you're right.
Oh, fantastic stuff, indeed. But just a bit of news that I've just seen that Alex McCarthy has posted. Devon Dudley revealed that he had a stroke last November.
Really?
So we certainly wish him all the best. I don't know how he is now. He's backstage producer now, isn't he? So I'm not sure if he's been at shows or if he's obviously recovering still. But that's just what he's posted there. I think it was on podcast, Devon Dudley podcast or something like that, that he revealed that. But yeah, all our best wishes, of course, go to Devon Dudley. Also, some news as well earlier today. New Japan Pro Wrestling announcing a TV deal, Roku TV in the USA and the UK. If I'm perfectly honest, Mad Dog, I don't know about yourself. Roku TV in the UK, do you have that? I've never heard of it.
I just spoke briefly to JC before and to SP3. I believe you can get it on your Fire Stick and download it and watch from there. Similar to, I downloaded the week? OVW's Fight TV. You can get them on your Fire Stick and download like that. So I'm assuming it'll be free to watch, I'm assuming, as well.
Nice.
I don't know what you guys have in the States. Do you have to pay for that, or is it a service that you can get for free, SP3? Or?
Well, I have Roku TV.
So Roku? I'm not sure.
It comes automatic with the Roku TV that I have.
Oh, great! So will they be showing them that live?
Yeah, that's gonna be. I don't know if it's gonna be a tape show. I doubt it's gonna be live because the time.
So it's 1 hour every.
Yeah,
week.
I don't think the time would work out like that. But I think it's gonna be a good deal for them because it's gonna be on a lot of different eyes. Roku is easily acceptable to everywhere in the U.S., the U.K., and Canada, and it's gonna be exposed to a lot of eyes that wouldn't know of New Japan outside of it winding up on Roku TV for them. So I think this is a great deal for them, and it comes at a great period for them because of what happened last night at AEW Dynamite. So it's a lot of excitement that they're generating for the New Japan pro wrestling fan base and wrestling fans overall, because they finally get exposed to New Japan if they haven't already.
Awesome. So is Roku, is it a TV channel then, or is it like a streaming service? What is it exactly?
Well, I know it's downloadable. So even if you don't have like TV, if you have like a laptop or something, you can download it if you're in the US, the UK, or Canada. But it's like if you have a Roku TV, you have your remote and you're going through the channels, you got your Netflix, you got your WWE Network, then okay. Roku channel would be there. You click on Roku channel and you can watch New Japan.
Amazing. And do you know any other things that are currently on there at the minute? Is there anything other popular things that are on?
I know MLW Fusion is available on Roku TV. Outside of that, I guess it depends on what genre you like. I mean, I know it has like some Canadian stuff, like Degrassi or Schitt's Creek. It's had in the past. It's got some comedies and like syndication type of stuff from the U.S. But those are probably the most stuff that wrestling fans watching would be interested in, is that it has MLW, and now it's going to be having in February, later on in February, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely amazing. Sabotage, what do you think of that news? Are you a big New Japan fan?
I do like New Japan. I think it was Access TV. Like, we were recording them back here in the States, but I think Access has Impact now. But yeah, that actually sounds cool. I think we have a Roku, so another way to check out New Japan, because I missed a lot of the content recently. But what's the thing they're doing on WWE Network and the Peacock streaming service? Mm-hmm. What is that about? That kind of upset me, because you know I'm all set with the WWE Network at home, but it sounds like I gotta get rid of it now or get Peacock.
Oh,
now?
They'll do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll bring you right over to Peacock. So
come on, just explain the process.
Yeah, I don't know. I was set, you know. I'd watch the matches and, you know, always study. And now it's gonna change how I you know do that. So that was kind of annoying. But we'll see. I guess that I'll have to subscribe to Peacock now.
Physical media is on. Physical media is where you need to be for your tape studies. Honestly, and I'm not just – I mean, I love the network and stuff, but getting a hold of the DVDs, even the VHSs, Sabotage, for your young career is going to be –
nice.
One of the best things I ever did was before the show, before they let the fans in, when the vendors are setting up, I got a guy in Williamsport I met just randomly, and I got so many bootleg, like the best of – Rick Root, best of Bam Bam Bigelow, that people have put together. And it's awesome to get stuff like
that. Yeah, I guess I got some old DVDs, but not like you, Clapper. I know you had a. Well, I mean, you're selling your ones at the show, so you're
yeah, those are my extras. Yeah, whenever, because you never know when they're gonna pull something down. They pulled WrestleMania 24 down because of maybe some music copyrights and stuff, and it's just. It's nice to have. Really? I can't say I watch this stuff every day, but I sleep happily at night knowing that I have it and I could.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah.
Sabotage. But
that's my suggestion.
All right. Yeah. No,
Sorry, Sabotage. I was just going to say, Stu off Stu's Wrestling Podcast was saying last week that it should actually be better. He was saying it should actually be better for you because. You'll be able to get it for $4.99 instead of $9.99, but it'll have adverts in it. So he was saying it'll be better. Oh, sorry, I lost you then for a second.
No, he's still there. He just
sorry,
says,
no, I got cut out bad. What was that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was just saying, Stewie from Stu's Wrestling Podcast said it'll be better for you. Because you'll be able to get it for $4.99 instead of $9.99 if you want, but you'll have adverts on it as well. So, yeah, so it could be good. Okay, I was going to mention as well, I'm loving the Hitman jersey behind you. That's a great effort there.
Oh, yeah.
The hockey shirt, is it from the Calgary Hitmen?
Yes, that was from, that's actually signed too.
Awesome.
I see it, but yeah, that was from, I know Clapper, I showed you the video, but long story short, we did like, my dad and I, when I was 12, we did like a Hitman. He had a sunglass commercial, and my dad's very creative, and we filmed. We made a little video, and I won the contest. So I got a like Skype call, Bret Hart, and for like 15 minutes, and then I got like a jersey, and then a signed pair of sunglasses or something like that. So that was cool. So nice. He went. Awesome. He's like, dude, you gotta get that in the background today. So. Let's do whatever he says.
Great match there. We got the Hitman this week. We have Head the other week. All good.
Yeah, I hope I can bring something every time, something new every time I get interviewed now. So now I gotta make sure get my memorabilia out here.
Excellent. Just before we move on, I just want to mention while we're talking about streaming service that yesterday, I believe, the Pro Wrestling Channel launched on Pluto TV. Over here in the U.S., so Channel 732, they struck a deal with IWTV. Pluto TV would be something very similar to like the Roku channel. You download it. It's got a bunch of channels on there, but the TNA Impact is on there. Watch a lot of classic stuff on there. So looking forward to seeing, pro wrestling 24/7 on the Pro Wrestling Channel on Pluto TV. So give them a little plug.
Nice, yeah.
Very nice indeed. But yeah, speaking of New Japan Pro Wrestling as well, AEW Dynamite last night, we saw Kenta appear and attack John Moxley. Justin's raising his hands there. He looks like he's...
Sorry. I was just... I had a lot of... Stewie got me on the betting thing. I bet everything I had on Hideo Itami showing up and lost out.
Oh,
it's comedy. We like a little bit of everything, don't we, SB3? I'm just bringing the comedy.
You see me laughing.
I roll.
Yes.
No, I'm anxious to hear you talk about that.
I really enjoyed the closing angle with Kenta attacking Jon Moxley. We talked about it a little bit last week when Moxley appearing on New Japan Strong. It was very interesting because Strong is in the U.S. over there in California. So for him to work any other wrestling promotion within the United States, he had to get approval from Tony Khan and AEW. So for Tony Khan to approve that, it goes against what he's previously said. He said that he wants the relationship between him and New Japan to be like one hand washes the other instead of his guys always going to New Japan. So we knew that Moxley showing up on New Japan Strong wouldn't mean something for AEW, and this was the something. Kenta showing up, it kind of creates this aura around the special shows for AEW because New Year Smash Night One had the whole two sweep between the United Bullet Club. Winter is Coming had the big angle with Sting debuting and Kenny Omega and Don Callis allying. So these big shows, these specials seem to always have these moments, and AEW has got a good reputation going with those. So I love this. I love what it means for New Japan and AEW. Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio says that this does mean that the Forbidden Door is open and that there is some type of working relationship. The extent of that, no one knows for right now, but we know they are working together right now. And that is good news for wrestling fans. It gives hope and excitement to wrestling fans. And AEW gives a lot of that, more than probably any other company in professional wrestling in a very, very long time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Mad Dog, what was your reaction when you saw Kenta appear, attack Mox?
Yeah, surprised. I thought I actually let my son watch that match because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought, Death Triangle looked absolutely awesome in that match. I just think Ray Phoenix and Pac are two of the best guys I've worked with in the UK, and to see them doing so well over there in the States is excellent. Ray Phoenix does something new every match I see him in. And also Pac, that 450 onto the when they had the pinfall and he broke it up with the 450. I just thought it was excellent stuff, really good. And Beach Break was a great show. I really enjoyed it. Very happy to see my friend Kip Sabian get married. Congratulations to Kip and Penelope. Apologies about what Orange Cassidy did, popping out the cake. That was a bit of a surprise. There's all sorts of shenanigans going on in there, and it was great to see the Sinister Minister doing the service. I thought that was great. But I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Great show. There's all sorts of stuff going on. It's got a bit of stuff for everyone. They build up every week to the week after show as well, really well. The bit with Team Taz and Sting, Sting hasn't done much yet, but each week they've added layers to that story with Team Taz. So, it's got me looking forward to next week's show. And the only thing I was slightly disappointed in this week was MJF and Chris Jericho winning the tag match. I thought that's what would happen, but I was hoping that maybe they would, with the storylines that they're building up, it might have been something different and they could have involved FTR and the Jurassic Express. But we'll have to see where they're going with that in coming weeks. What did Sabotage and Justin think of AEW? Enjoy it, guys.
I'll go first. I mean, I'm sure Clapper liked the Penelope Ford wedding thing. I'm sure, but it was pretty good. I caught most of it. I thought the Kenta thing was really cool. I think it's gonna be a good opportunity for him. Because I mean, he was a Ring of Honor guy, right? Before NXT or anything like that. So
he was Pro Wrestling Noah when they were working with Ring of Honor.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so I think, I mean, for him, that's huge for his career, I think. So I think it, he was doing his thing in NXT, but obviously he gets out of that, comes AEW, and it's John Moxley, right? He took out. So that's a huge opportunity for him. So I think that was cool. The tag team thing was, you know, was cool. Jericho, I know. Clapper, did you see the? Or well, anyway, I'll explain. But the Jericho and MJF after their match, they kept saying collateral damage in their promo, so my tag partner Robbie J, Renegade, he tweeted about it, and you know, just wanted to say, hey, you know, collateral damage, because that's our tag team name. And he wanted to, you know, just put it out on Twitter and social media, and then Jericho retweeted it last night. So that was kind of cool. So we're like, okay, what the heck's going to go, you know, on? Because, you know, obviously, because at first I was like, maybe they're trying to, someone's going to steal our tag name, you know? You know, when you're at the bigger leagues, you know, it's kind of like having a finishing move, you know? You're at the bigger league, and, you know, if you see an indie guy do a cool move, and let's say I created it. Well, you're on TV. You take it over. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, so it's their move now. So that's what we kind of thought at first. But it's kind of cool to see that he retweeted Robbie's comments on Twitter. So we'll see. I don't know if it means anything, but I thought that was cool. So, but AEW last night. That was overall. I liked the show. Every week I tune in and watch most of it. I try to flip back and forth to NXT, though. Because NXT is so good at wrestling. I liked Edge promo last night, how he said, you know, WWE, you know, is the E. It's a lot of the E in the WWE is the entertainment, but he said NXT is big in the second W, which is wrestling, you know, and I thought Edge is so good at promos, but I just thought that was a clever way the, you know, put that in. And, you know, him saying that, you know, NXT is what gave him passion, you know, to come back and return, I thought that was really cool. So every Wednesday night I'm trying to flip through both, so I missed a couple of scenes out of both, but I did like AEW what I saw last night.
Fabulous. JC, did you see it?
I did. Here's the problem. I stream TNT, and in the right after the finish of Lance Archer and Eddie Kingston, you know, they said coming up next was the main event. They came back from commercial, and this has happened to me before, and it was in the middle of the Lance Archer match again. Okay. So then when they go to commercial again and say coming up is the main event, I got the movie The Meg showing. So I missed all. I had to catch up on everything. So it's just you know, everything I was looking forward to in that six man. I know I read somewhere, and maybe you guys can help me out, that they had to heavily edit the last time the Good Brothers were on because of a bunch of things references they were making, SP3.
Yes, they were making references to smoking marijuana and jacking off and ejaculating during the matchup with the Good Brothers and the Young Bucks versus the Dark One. Yeah.
Man. Jeez.
You still want to interview them, Clapper?
I looked up $500 a piece.
Got the edited version?
we got the edited version of that. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Why would they edit comedy out? I don't understand. Should be a little bit of everything.
That wasn't them that edited it out. It's the TNT. It a little bit too much.
Levels, JC. There's levels of comedy. It's got to be right. JC, you haven't mentioned. What did you think about Thunder Rosa?
You asked me about Thunder Rosa.
All right. JC's a big fan of Thunder Rosa. So she got beat by Britt Baker, but the way they did it, she hit her head on the middle turnbuckle and was knocked out. So it looks like they're going somewhere with a good storyline, but. Just wondered what you thought. I know you're a big fan.
I didn't catch it, to be honest with you. But I was flipping back and forth. But I can't flip because I stream, so it takes forever. But
what he meant to say was he didn't watch AEW, but he made sure he tuned in to the wedding, the Penelope Ford wedding.
Priorities, ladies and gents.
I can tell you guys a story off air that would very much confirm why I would not have tuned in to that wedding specifically.
Thunder Rosa, though, that's, I am such a big fan of her. I met her at an AEW show, and I was just out there setting up the ring, you know, trying to do, you know, do the gimmick, you know, trying to, you know, get on, set up the ring, tear down, shake hands. But I met her, and she was there at AEW once, and then she wasn't there. I never saw her again, and she made a
right after you shook her hand, never saw her.
I saw her. I never saw her at any other AAW show again after that. So I talked to her just a little bit, but she, I thought, made a big name for herself. So I don't know, like, they didn't want her back at the shows, or, you know, just got some other ladies to wrestle. But I, her being NWA champion, is she still NWA champion, or is that not okay? But she made that, I thought,
no, mean Serena Deeb.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I remember that now.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I'm glad to see she's big. Made a big career, you know, because she didn't go on WWE or anything. So it's nice to see that she's got opportunity and she's making the most of it.
No, absolutely. Yep. But I mean, now with Kenta appearing on Dynamite, obviously we know there's some sort of crossover going on now. Where do you think that will ultimately lead to SP3?
I think it should lead to some type of like major show or pay-per-view for either New Japan, AEW, Impact Wrestling, or all three coming together. If we can get like a When Worlds Collide type of event, that would create so much excitement among wrestling fans. That would bring back lapsed wrestling fans, and that would bring in the casual wrestling fans. And I think that the big time matchups that we can get from a potential AEW versus New Japan storyline is so tantalizing, like Omega versus Ibushi. We've talked about a lot, with Omega trying to be the belt collector, and then his former friendship and Golden Lovers tag team with Kota Ibushi. But Omega Okada 5 in the U.S. would be one of the biggest buy rates ever on American pay-per-view because of the intrigue for wrestling fans that have heard about New Japan, heard about the legend of their whole trilogy in 2017, and then would be coming in to kind of see it on U.S. soil for the first time. I know me, when I first got my ticket for the G1 Supercard in 2019, it was in 2018 when Kenny was in New Japan, and I thought that was going to be the time we get it for the first time in the U.S., so that's why I got my ticket. And you saw how fast that show sold out. So hopefully they wait and they can build it up with this whole working relationship, and we can get like a couple of matches on like a New Japan show, on an AEW show, and then they can eventually build up to that, like in Madison Square Garden again, maybe, possibly. I think on pay-per-view, it would be huge for not only AEW, not only New Japan, if Impact Wrestling is in the mix, but the entire wrestling business. This Kenta move may seem small right now, but it may have ripple effects that we're going to be talking about throughout the entire year.
Yeah, SP3, I meant to ask you, I know you live in New York. How many times have you been to Madison Square Garden for wrestling shows over there?
A lot. Since I was like 5-6 years old, I went to like my first wrestling show at MSG. But I've been there for a lot of like huge moments. I was there for the curtain call with the Click. I didn't even know what was going on. I was only 8 years old, and I was just confused why Diesel and Shawn Michaels just beat each other up in a steel cage and then hugging each other. I was there for Triple H's return in 2002, and he's someone I've always hated, and my mom knew I hated him, but even I was on my feet cheering for him. My mom was like, what's the big deal? Like, my mom doesn't watch wrestling. She's like, what's the big deal? I thought you hate that guy. And it's like, oh no, he's back. It's a beautiful day. Yeah. So great. That's, I've been awesome. There for a lot of big moments. And then I also been there very often for like their Boxing Day event after Christmas. So that's like the event that like annually I will try to go to, or at least every other year.
Awesome. I've not had a chance to go, but I will at some point in the future make a pilgrimage to MSG for sure. So I'll definitely try and catch a show with you when I head over for sure.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously with Wrestle Dynasty as well that was scheduled for last summer, like you mentioned there, SB3, I would expect that there'd be some sort of AEW involvement and maybe even for Wrestle Kingdom next January.
Yeah.
Sabotage, what's your opinion on obviously this coming together of all these companies, AEW, Impact, even NWA involved in there? What is your take on that?
I think it's... I guess I got like wishy-washy opinion on it because I like that it's bringing all these companies together. See, I'm big in like AEW and like Ring of Honor and just like all an Impact, you know, having these separate companies. For me as a wrestler, it's like, oh, I could get signed and there's so many other options, you know. But then if they're all like kind of colliding as one, then I mean, is that kind of like going to become just like a second company, you know? And so I don't know, but I think it's very cool. I think for the fans, it's phenomenal because if you're getting New Japan guys and, you know, AEW guys and mixing it all up. So I think that is really cool. Plus it's probably helping the companies out, you know, because, you know, like Ring of Honor, I really don't know what's going on in Ring of Honor right now. And I feel awful saying that because I like the Ring of Honor a ton, but it's just like, you don't, I personally don't hear a lot about them. So maybe if they were able, I know they had some collabs with New Japan. So if New Japan collabs with, you know, AEW, and then Impact's already collabing with them. So maybe it bring all the wrestling companies, you know, up, you know, maybe because they're on a low right now with COVID. So maybe Mayo help them out. And then after COVID, Mayo they'll disperse back or maybe keep it up. I don't know. But I think it is good now saying that. That they're all collabing, helping each other out, you know, at the end of the day, because Ring of Honor, you know, so sometimes I hear, you know, rumors that, you know, they could fall off, you know, and just like they can't run shows. But I don't know how good of a state they are right now, but I just hear, you know, you hear rumors and you don't want to see any company fall. You want to see them all stay. And for me as a wrestler, you want to see them stay because it's more places to get signed eventually. So
stay because it's more.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Mad Dog? What's your thoughts on this coming together of all these promotions?
I completely agree with Sabotage there. I think it's a great thing, and you know, WWE have held the monopoly for a long time, and I love WWE, but it's great to see these other companies getting a go. And AEW, I think, has been brilliant, and I'm glad that they're bringing Impact back in. I used to go to Impact Wrestling all the time over in the UK. When every year it came over, me and my friends would go. And if they bring Ring of Honor in, and I know where Stewie off Stew's Wrestling Podcast has been a huge fan of NWA, tells me all about that all the time. So I just think it's a good thing for wrestling, and if it makes everyone improve their game, and it's better for everyone, isn't it? And hopefully Sabotage will see you on one of the shows soon anyway.
Yeah, let's hope. Just got to keep grinding.
Yep, got to keep grinding indeed. And, of course, New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 16 will be taking place January 2022. Tokyo, Japan. Wrestling travel packages for that trip are on sale now for travelers coming from the UK, from Europe, from the US, from Canada, from Australia, from wherever you're looking to travel from. We can certainly help. You'll get your flights included, your hotels stay around the corner from Tokyo Dome, and you'll get your airport transfers, ticket to the event, guided tours, exclusive merch, and also now included, of course, is a Q&A with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer at Tudokan Wrestling Store. And there will be two of those events that will be taking place the morning of the 4th and the morning of the 5th of January there. So head on over to wrestlingtravel.org, secure your place now. And if you head on over to the Wrestling Observer's Twitter page, website, maybe Alicia Atoot's Twitter, even Alex McCarthy at TalkSport, you may even find some discounts there for you to reduce the cost of your packages there. So make sure you don't miss out on those Wrestle Kingdom 16 2022. It still seems so far away, but hopefully everything will be fine by then. Of course, with it being so far away, you can, of course, pay that monthly. I'm getting my words mixed up now. You can pay monthly installments to pay off your travel package. So we don't expect a lump sum all at once. We can spread the cost of that, indeed. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Justin, you mentioned on our sort of pre, you know, we put a brief thing together for the podcast, something about ECAA Super 8, Ricky Morton.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. The Ageless Wonder. The ECW Super 8 tournament's going to continue. And one of the first guys named was Ricky Morton. I don't think they've named them all yet, but I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome.
He's still 60-some years old, still doing it in the ring. Watched him do the Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
2 years ago when I was in Baltimore, he's still doing a lot of stuff, so. You got to love Ricky Morton. If you get a chance to meet Ricky Morton, one of the nicest guys out there, buy his shirt.
But, I did a really seminar with him one time. Him and Robert Gibson. They did a seminar in Indiana. It was all talking because, you know, have you ever interviewed him, Clapper, or anyone?
I've just talked to him when I bump into him.
He likes to talk, you know, but he's very knowledgeable. Great. You know, very knowledgeable. So I was okay not bumping on the seminar, you know, just learning to hear the knowledge that comes out of his mouth. It's very cool. Wait, what promotion was that for? The tournament?
ECWA? Yeah.
Okay. ECWA, where is that located?
I believe they out in Wilmington, Delaware, I believe.
Okay.
Somewhere out there.
Gotcha. Okay.
Add that to your list, son.
Yeah, I know. You have a date for that?
We'll look it up afterwards. It just flashed over that he was gonna. It's one of those. You know, Adam Cole's been in there. Tommaso Ciampa, a lot of before they were superstars.
Around. Okay, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, I'll definitely get the info from you after.
Perfect.
Awesome stuff indeed, but we are going to be wrapping up in just a few moments there. But before we do leave, of course, we'd like to go around everyone to see, of course, where we can find you and your stuff. We'll start with our special guest, Sabotage. Where can we find you on social media? Where can we find all your stuff?
Yeah, I just Sabotage Sean on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And Robbie, a Renegade, just started a new website for us. He's in the middle of building a new website for us, for our T-shirts and our stickers and every other merch for us. But it's going to be called SoundExcape.com. It's going to be our new brand where we have our merchandise on there. So it's about ready to launch, but it's soundescape.com. So that's where all the merch will be soon.
Fantastic. Can't wait to see that indeed. And SP3, True Hill Heat, where can we find you and all your work?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at True Hill Heat. You can also go to our YouTube channel, subscribe over there. We got a bunch of great content over there. A new episode of True Rewind. We go back in time to February 26, 1996 for WWF Raw, WCW Nitro. Bunch of great stuff over there. Also find me on the Wrestling Daily YouTube channel on Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. GMT, Grittage of Mandarin Time. I don't know how to say it. GST, whatever. So yes, and then you can also read a bunch of my articles on Sports Kita. And speaking of Thunder Rosa, yes, on Dynamite with Britt Baker was great. One of my favorite matches of last night from either AEW and NXT. And True Hill Heat is sponsoring a show for her promotion, Mission Pro Wrestling, this Saturday in Voodoo, Texas. It's going to be at Pinball's Kingdom. Be there live if you're in Texas and buy a ticket on missionprowrestling.com, or you can watch it on Title Match Wrestling Network.
Amazing stuff. And congratulations there for True Heel Heat sponsoring such a fantastic event, Mission Pro Wrestling. There, Mad Dog Mike Angus, where can we find you and all your action?
Yeah, of course, guys. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The Twitter's at Angus Mad Dog. Also, if you want to catch any of my ring announcing, I'm on TNT Extreme Wrestling out of Liverpool. Also, Wrestle Island. You can check all that out on Powered 4 TV. And if you're interested in something a little bit different, me and Stu from Stu's Wrestling Podcast are going to be on Added Time Live, which is a soccer podcast for you American guys, a football podcast for us in the UK. And that's going to be live on Sunday night after the Premier League fixtures, which will be 7 o'clock in the UK, I believe, which will be 2 o'clock in the afternoon for you guys over there. So 2 o'clock EST, I'm assuming, 7 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. So if you fancy something a bit different, come and check that out. And I look forward to catching up with you all again next weekend. One thing we didn't get to mention that I wanted to mention was that it looks like they're going to have Pete Dunne versus Finn Balor at NXT TakeOver, which is something I'm really excited for. Can't wait to see that. And as always, it's been an honor to be on the show today, catching up with all my brothers here. And we are a wrestling family, and I thoroughly enjoy being on the show each week. So big thank you to you all, and I appreciate all your opinions. It's great stuff. And keep your comedy in the right levels. There's different levels for comedy.
Oh no, thank you, Mad Dog, indeed. And just before we do go as well, of course you can find wrestling travel merch on Wrestle Merch Central. Brand new t-shirt will be available soon on Wrestle Merch Central. You can also find t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, hats, all sorts of different things. So make sure you check that out on Wrestle Merch Central. And also make sure you head on over to wrestlingtrader.co.uk and for all your favorite wrestling action figures and memorabilia. I believe they do have some new AEW figures in at this moment in time, which I'm sure will be in demand. So make sure you visit wrestlingtrader.co.uk for all of that. But fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure. As always, thank you for coming on. Sabotage, thank you for taking some time out to join us once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, guys. Keep up the good work every week. You know, I try to tune in every week, but sometimes at work, you know, it's kind of tough. But you got episode 29 today, is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Awesome. So that's awesome, man. Keep it up, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. And quick question, is there wrestling travel tank tops?
I think there is some merch.
Okay, well, I gotta go get one now. Right after this call. But thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Sabotage. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Mad Dog. Thank you, SP3. We'll see you again next week.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.